Bennett, no, I'm going to stay right up here tonight. All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. I need the ushers. There's a paper in the back on the back. If you guys can go ahead and hand that out. I don't know if you have one of you men on the front that don't mind going in the balcony. Go ahead and take some of those papers and run them upstairs for them, if you would. Don't wait for somebody else. Go. Amen. All right. Once you get the paper, you'll see this is about the Landmark Baptist, the Bible Baptist Institute here. And so it's about the Wednesday night classes that we've been talking about. We want you to be able to come out. All the nursery and everything is provided. Nursery all the way through teens will be busy with their own things that are going on Wednesday night. And so we want you to come out even earlier. We've talked about this. So if you can kind of go through the evening at about 4 o'clock, if you really wanted to, you could go out with the teens or the college and go soul winning and start your evening that early. And then come back with them about that 5:15-ish time and sit down and eat. If you go soul winning, we'll feed you for free. All right? So if you go soul winning with us, you come back, you'll get a meal ticket and eat for free. If you can't, I understand so many people are working still at that same time, that hour. But if you can get here by 5:30, we realize how hard that is, and so we want you to be able to have a meal. So at 5:30, we're going to put on a meal. You can get the meal for $3 a person or $10 a family. All right, the tickets will be sold at the back media counter starting the 16th, and again, I'll announce that over and over again, but that's a couple Sundays away. It's not this Sunday. The next Sunday, they'll go on sale, and that Wednesday night following will be the first meal. All right, so many of you have it already, so we'll start at the top. Again, this is the classes start at 6:30. The dinner will begin at 5:30, run till just up to that 6:30 time so you and your family can eat, then head to class or take your kids to each one of the things they need to be at, and then you get to class, all right? We've handed out the cards for what classes are available, all right? So what does the class cost? Nothing but the investment of your time. So my class is going to be the book of Acts, so hopefully you already have the book. But if you don't have the book of Acts, it's in your Bible, we'll give you one. All right, we'll give you the Bible, all right? If you're in Dr. Pitts's class, he's going to use, I think, a book from Dr. Hiles, and we're printing that, and we're going to give you that for free. So we want you to read through that. It'll help the class, but we'll give you that. Now, some of the things that won't be provided, and we'll go over this next Wednesday night, which will be orientation. There will be no meal next Wednesday night, but if you can be here at 6:30, we'll have a general orientation about the classes and some things that you would want to bring, like some notepaper, some pens, talking about. Then you'll break up into the individual classes. The teacher will give you further instruction on the class itself, and then the next week we'll make sure you have all those things gathered together to start the class and take notes. All right, and so that's how everything's going to work. So tests will be given. It's an institute, so at the end we're going to give you a certificate. All right, and hopefully you'll be able to graduate with a certificate after about 8 years, because we're only doing one class a year. All right, if you want to stick in it that long, but we're going to give you a certificate per year, and then at the end you can graduate and walk from this institute. But what we wanted to start off with was just one class at a time here, baby steps, amen. And so as we begin this, we want you to realize that tests will be given, but they're not going to be something, we won't have time to do it in the class. All the teaching time will be filled up. We'll hand the test to you, and it will be a complete honor system. Some of us could just take the test and knock it out. Others will need to look at their notes and refresh themselves, and so it'll be a take-home test. And your honor system that you're not asking Siri. Siri may not have the right answer anyway, okay? So what we want you to do is just really, it's an open book, open to the Bible, open to the book for the class, or open note test, and you're just going to turn the test back in and the teacher will grade it. And really, more than anything, this is really a test to just see if you're absorbing for yourself more than anything what we're getting. And so if you look on down and you'll see that a Bible certificate will be awarded for those who complete the class requirements and have no more than 2 absences. And so this is going to be 20 classes long, but it's going to take us through the fall and the spring to get this done after we take off a few for all the things we do around here, all right? And so the schedule is on the back. Don't look at it now. I'm showing it from here, okay? So don't look at the schedule yet. We'll get there, all right? On the front, You see here it says the meal cost is $3, $10 a person ticket at the media counter. You'll be able to buy several weeks. We don't want you to have to go to the media counter every week. If you have, you know, if you need to do that on a weekly basis because of money, but some of you, you'll go back and say, well, I plan on being here for all of it. You can go ahead and get a whole month if you wanted to do that at one time, if you want to do it 2 weeks at a time. We don't want it to be hard for you, but we do need to have the tickets sold so we know how much to prepare, if you can understand. All right, so I just wanted to mention, in the inside, this is no one is going to be listening to the Bible tonight. They're all going to be looking at the color pictures that they printed here of all the meal. And then you're going to be, so what is everyone going to leave and go to eat tonight? Probably not Culver's. They're going to be looking for some pasta. They're going to head to Olive Garden, right? So that's pretty much everything. If we're going to be able to give a $3 meal, you realize, folks, we're going to be living in the pasta realm. The first question everybody here wants to ask is some of this going to be gluten-free? I don't know. I'm not going to cook it, all right? I will do my best to ask about that. I know some of you will need that, and I'm sure we will go ahead and try to prepare some of that. But again, we'll need to know that ahead of time if we're going to make sure that we accommodate everyone. You'll see that there are two Wednesday nights, two fifth Sundays. So we wanted to make it easy. You can see it says first Wednesday of the month, second Wednesday. So we're not starting on the first Wednesday of the month, but we will start, of course, so the meal will be according to what Wednesday it is in the month. So there are some months, November, I think, and March have five Wednesdays. So the fifth Wednesday is going to be pizza. Not because it goes along with the pasta theme, but because that's what I wanted. And so, okay, so, all right, so if you wanted to really know, all right, so turn on to the back and you'll see here that there's a calendar of, again, the 12th, which is next Wednesday. There will be no meal, but we'll have orientation. So at 6:30, we'll begin here in the auditorium. We'll have orientation and we'll separate and tell you where your class is. That's just getting oriented to who your teacher is. He knows and he gets to know who's in his class, then where the class is going to be located for the remainder of that of the time. So all that's just going to be getting orientated to what we're doing. So just all that. And then on top of that, there is one small error on this schedule. And if you want to write it in, I'll help you do that. Well, I'm sure we'll print it corrected ones. And you'll be able to get it. But April 5th, the final class is April 12th. All right. And that'll be the final class. But the final test date will be April 5th. It got left off. So if you want to write April 5th between March 29th and April 12th, April 5th is the final test will be handed out and turned in on the final night. And that night, you'll come to class, you'll turn those things in. If the teacher has anything else he wants to give you, he will. He'll grade that, and then we will, that night in the evening on April 12th, we'll have our graduation ceremony, at least for the certificates. We'll have everybody walk and get their certificate in the service on Wednesday night. And you say, why on April 12th? Because Pastor Carter and I are going to be in Illinois the next Wednesday night preaching at the Revival Fires Conference. Amen. And so we're going to close it out there. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. If you have any questions that were not answered on this paper, you can see me right after the service. We don't have a lot of time left, and I do want to stay on time, but we'll begin the chapter. I really had a desire to finish the chapter. My wife was an encouragement to me, so I won't get to the virtuous woman tonight. She is one, but she was an encouragement. I said, I am going to finish the book tonight. And she said, you better tell everybody they're going to be there till 9 o'clock. Amen. And so, so we're not going to be able to finish tonight for sure, just with all the other things that we've done. But I want to show you, I think this is so fitting for what we just had with Life Chain and all the things we saw with Hannah at the beginning of this chapter. We've talked about the writer of the book, the earthly penman is Solomon. God is obviously the author of the Bible and this book as well. And so as he is writing all these different proverbs, these wise sayings, he comes to the last chapter. And we see some another name that Solomon is called. Now, there are people that say, again, this is something that historically is always attributed, this Lumel. If you look in verse 1, the words of King Lumel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this Lumel here is just, again, the word itself, the name itself means belonging to God. All right, so it's a reference, and it is a name his mother called him, All right. And you're going to see that. So if you want to see something that's just kind of really neat, they do believe this is Solomon. Even all the Old Testament, you know, men and women that write any kind of commentary, if that's what you want to call it, the teaching of the rabbis, they accommodate this and say, this is Solomon. And this is Bathsheba, his mother, that is being written about. In the first, I think, 9 verses or so here, you're going to see that he is reminding himself or writing down, every one of us have heard our mothers tell us something and that be reminded over and over again, that we're taught by repetition, and we mentioned it Sunday morning. But just as Hannah did, I think you can see this, and I just want you to kind of look at the scripture from this mindset. In verse 2, there's a very clear-cut thing. Understand how Solomon came to be. All right? I want you to go back, and we'll read the scripture in just a minute, but I just want you to listen and try to hold on to it. So David and Bathsheba sinned, and that child that was conceived in sin died. David was fasting and put sackcloth and ashes on and prepared himself and begged God until the child passed. Then he took all those things off and he began to not mourn anymore. He understood that he would see that child again. And so when we talk about young people being safe, we always reference that scripture, but immediately following him taking heart that God had made a decision and God was always righteous in his decisions, he then ate and he went to comfort his wife. And in 2 Samuel there, you'll see that he goes into Bathsheba and comforts her. They conceive Solomon. And Solomon is born after God has put away David's sin. And then David names his son Solomon, which means peace. Peace with God. His mother, without a doubt here, and what they take from verse 2, much like Hannah, having been able to look back and just a generation ago, without a doubt, Bathsheba, whose grandfather is Ahithophel, and you may not know who he is too, but he is really one of the wisest men of his day. And if I could just say it like this, they said that, I mean, when Ahithophel gave counsel, it was like the words of God or the voice of God falling is what the word of God says. And is there any doubt? Even though God endowed Solomon with wisdom, he came from a pretty sharp pedigree. And so when you see him come to this place here in the Bible, you come to this and you realize that now Bathsheba was someone who knew God. She had just gotten away from him. She just stepped out and did something that was wrong and now had been forgiven. And here in verse 2, look at it. It says, what my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows. There's only one of her sons that became king. And there was one son that, without a doubt, I guarantee you, after a son had died, just like Hannah, I believe that Bathsheba was making vows to God that she would never fall into this trap again, that she would never sin against God again in that same way, and she would be faithful if God would bless her to have a child and raise him up. And I can just imagine. But all we know is that this is the name that God gave him a different name. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. I want you to see this. And it didn't stick. It's not something they call him, but David names his son Solomon. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse 24 and 25. You'll see the child has just died. And then in verse 24, as I wait for you to turn there, verse 24, we see David says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. All right? So now David sins. Now realize David has more than one wife. And the man of God, Nathan the prophet, sins. God, again, loves Solomon. He has honored him, and I believe answered both of his parents' prayers. He's given And if you can even think about the prophecy in the name Solomon, Solomon would rule in peace, where his dad was a man of war. What Daniel desperately wanted from God when he had Solomon was peace with God, to be settled, have that war between God, that enmity, the sin that was between him. He wanted that settled, and he got that settled, and God blessed him. And then the Lord loved him, and he sends by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he, not David, but Nathan, calls Solomon Jedidiah. And the name doesn't mean because of the Lord. The name actually means, it's really interesting, beloved of Jehovah. So Jedidiah means beloved of Jehovah. So he gets a name. It would stand to reason for me. We'll go back to Proverbs 31, if you would, tonight. But I just want you to understand that David calls his son by his name, and this name carries on through the scripture. But every one of us probably have nicknames that people that love us call us by. And his mama called him Lumel, which means belonging to God. She gave him back to God, made a vow to God that this son was going to be different. This son was not conceived in sin, but was going to be king. And I don't know what kind of vows, but if you read the back end at the end of David's life, Bathsheba was serious about who was going to be king. And again, one that you very seldom, other than the sin, and after this, you don't hear much about Bathsheba, but when David comes to the end of his life, there's no question who she's rooting for. She is pushing for that. And I don't believe it was because she wanted her son necessarily to be king, but because she had made a vow to God that she would raise him. And again, even there are other commentators, and I don't know about this because I didn't live in that day, but many people believe that when the child was weaned, just like Samuel, that Solomon was given to Nathan to be taught all the things in the book of the law and everything that went along with it, and to be given wisdom. And so there's much more to the story, and we're only given two verses. And if God really wanted us to know, we can speculate, but one day we'll be able to sit down with Solomon and ask him, amen? And I'm looking forward to that day. But according to the scripture here, he gives some instruction, and this is not just instructions. Just let me say this. I know that many of you are not kings, you know, the ruling over people, but we are the sons of God, and we are royalty in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Bible, don't take this. Too many people take this part of Proverbs out of context and say, it's okay to drink. It's okay to do this and to do that. But when we take the Old Testament as an admonition for us, as a New Testament believer, we would not side with ourselves as someone who is a poor and needy soul. We would side as kings and priests because of whose we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, look at the scripture. After he gets done with verse 2, he says, give not thy strength. This is his mother's prophecy. This is what mama preached to him on a daily basis. Don't you better not give your strength to women, nor thy ways to which destroyeth kings. Now, I'm going to tell you what was one of the things he did. You know what happens at my house? If my wife says, don't touch that, it's hot. You know what my boys did? They touched it because it was hot. Now, mom didn't make them do that. She just had that Holy Spirit inkling, they were about to do that and told them not to, tried to save them from it. And what brought Solomon very low, who's someone who belonged to God, he gave most of his life strength to women. And here he's telling on himself as he writes under the inspiration of God, give not thy strength unto women. I was told better to not to do this, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And I think that's going to follow. It says, it's not for kings, O Lamel, not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. I think this is kind of making an allusion there to those that are about ready to go on. They're giving comfort to them. We have all kinds of things that they make in drugs, and I think sometimes they give them to them way too early, and I could make all kinds of speculations about that, but We do live in a day and age where, you know, of Advil, aspirin, and all kinds of other drugs because we're wimps. And we just don't want to feel any pain. And God created our body to have pain to tell us that there was something wrong. And not so that we could take drugs and cover it up, but so that we could try to figure out a way, what am I doing that makes me hurt? And change your ways. When you lay your hand on something hot, you take your hand away, and even though you're still burned, it will heal, and it doesn't burn anymore because you removed it from the fire. For most of us, we could go through all that, you know, this life and most of the things that we deal with on a daily basis are very simple answers. We complicate them. We complicate them because we add all the things but this. When it's black and white, it's clear cut, if we would just stop this, it would heal. You know, a lot of guys that get hurt playing sports, do you know what they do? They stop playing the sport that hurt them, and they heal. Because the body, and not because someone else healed them, but because the body is a miracle of God and will heal itself. And oftentimes, we just forget those things. And again, you say, well, I can't stop working, preacher. I agree with you. I agree with you, but there are some things that we could stop and make things better. Most of the times, this body, it's a weird thing that if we would just, sometimes if we would just stop and fast and let our body purge itself, we would find out how much our body would heal itself. But we're not willing to restrict the flesh from anything, almost. Just say no to it and let it repair itself. Now you say, preacher, you're meddling. I'm not trying to meddle. I'm trying to help you tonight. He says in verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. This is not speaking about the Christian. The Christian is commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, well, we have heavy hearts too, not like those that have no hope. We don't sorrow like others that have no hope. We don't hide our pain in a bottle. We don't go do the things that the world does, and we don't try to do the things the world does to mask. You know, the world goes back to the bottle. And in this book, folks, you can't read it. If you just took chapter 31, maybe you can make a case, but if you had read the entire book, you'd know better that you shouldn't even look on it. So when you take this book and the Bible in context, this Bible is not giving you, you know, if you got a sorrowful heart, go ahead and drink something. That's not what the Bible's teaching. If you're a Christian, you don't have anything to be sorry for. That you can't get right between you and holy God. And maybe you got away from him in sin. Maybe you are feeling heartbroken, and maybe you are feeling low. But you ought not be where the world is. And your hope should not be found in a bottle to drink away your pain. It should be to repent of whatever it is that is your problem between you and God and turn to him and let him begin to heal and help. You say, preacher, God can't fix all my problems. Why don't you give him a try? Why don't you give him a chance? Why don't you just trust in him and watch him open the windows of heaven? If it's a money problem, you think the worst thing you could do is give money to the church. Give your 10%. How am I ever going to tithe my way out of this? Prove me, is what God says. I've got physical needs. Well, why don't you go to the great physician? I remember this lady in the New Testament that the Bible says that she had spent all. And all means all. It don't mean almost all. It means all in the Bible. And then she decided, I heard about this Jesus. And he's not somebody that takes money. And I heard that he's so righteous. You know, he's so righteous. If I could touch but the hem of his garment, he could take this issue of blood that I've suffered with for 12 years That's the kind of Jesus I serve. But most of the time, we won't go to him until all other avenues have been followed. What a sad commentary on believers. And the name we call ourselves is believers. So we went to everything else before we went to him. That don't sound like belief. Say, preacher, you're hitting hard tonight. No, I just want us to be surreal and serious about this, because you know what happens? What when we allow these things, drink, strong drink, anything that it perverts the judgment of any of the afflicted. Affliction is not necessarily, it's just something that comes, it's something that afflicts us. And if we take and try to mask our problem, do you know you can get addicted not just to drugs but to the television because you sit in front of it and turn it on and let it drink away your problems? And you zone out because you don't want to think about really what's going on. When you give all that time to it instead of giving that time to the Lord and trusting him, finding hope and joy and restoration in his word, but you give it to that. Teenagers give it to game systems. Some people go out and, I mean, we could go through all the different things that people give their time and their heart and their mind to take them away from their afflictions instead of running to God with them and laying them at his feet and say, I'm here. God, I'm here because I don't want to pervert judgment. And I realize the righteous judge, I mean, his banner over me is love. After a Sunday night of love, I can come to the righteous judge and realize that righteously he will say, grace, grace. He's not, I mean, so many times we think we see a God with a hammer and I'm going to fall on his feet and I'm going to get more afflicted, but I don't serve a God of that. Not in this grace period. There will be a day that if you put all that off and you keep letting it go and you're not saved and you don't come to him through salvation, there'll be a day when the righteous judge judges righteously and brings his wrath. But we live in a day right now that if you come to him, whosoever will, if they'll call on him, that righteous judge will forgive and heal, restore, take away the afflictions. You say, well, what about Paul? Paul had an affliction. Remember Paul had an affliction? And what did God tell him? He didn't take the affliction, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So every one of us, folks, I don't know about you. I mean, we could go through all our pains, afflictions, and things, and we may live the rest of our lives with whatever it is, that ailment that we have. But his grace is sufficient. Sometimes he gets more glory out of me being afflicted than he would if he took it from me. Because if not, sometimes I would turn back and go back the same way I came and forget God and not thank him on a daily basis. Because you know, when I'm being afflicted and I need the grace of God for every moment, I daily need my dose of grace if I'm going to deal with my affliction. Folks, tonight, he goes through this, and I think surely you understand. Look, he says in verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in this cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. You realize there's two, the first verse is all about spiritual things. You know, he's saying there are people, everyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior is appointed to destruction. And as a Christian, I need to be able to discern folks when I see them, because I'm listening to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit inside of me saying, that's one you need to witness to right there. I can't discern that on my own. And when I drink the spirits or the strong drink of the world, if you were to do that, guess what spirit it quiets? What spirit it drowns out so that you can't hear it anymore? Or anything else that you use to cover up your afflictions in this life. It doesn't have to be strong drink. It can be many other things. It quiets the Spirit of God, and it also changes your discernment, and you're really not caring about the lost anymore. The person you are focused on is fixing you. That's what the world teaches every one of us, to put me first. I need me time. I need to be focused on me. I really think the Christian ought to learn to be focused on him. And while I'm focused on him, he's focused on me. And even the way we started tonight, the potter knows the clay. To be honest with you folks, I don't really know how hot the heat should get as the potter molds the clay. But the potter does. So I'll just keep my eyes on the potter. And I'll let him work on the clay. And if he feels like he needs to turn it up a little hotter, to me, it seems like I'm going to break. To me, it seems like it's too hot. My affliction is too great. But the Lord will give me grace and say, just a little while longer and you'll be a vessel unto honor. Just a little while longer and I can use you for my honor and glory. Just a little while longer and you'll be just what I need you to be. Listen, God used, what a passage of scripture, and he talks about this. Now, I know that you may not be able to draw all that out of what we had here, but, you know, God is so good not just to give us a message on one Sunday, but give us Sunday and Wednesday and tie it all together, and not because some preacher came up with it and wrote it on the calendar, but because we have a holy God, and I say, God, I need grace. God, give me what your people need tonight. God, give us what we need to heal us in our afflictions, or to at least get us through with grace until you come. Folks, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I can tell you this. I need God's grace on a daily basis. Amen. And Solomon was no different than any of us. Even though he was born to bring an era of peace, he had his battles and he had his afflictions as well. But he had a great mama, I think, who loved him through it and gave him prophecy. Don't you do it. Listen, if you go this way, this is what's going to happen. And we can look back at his life and see the times he did right and where he had victory. And we can see where he did wrong and he was afflicted because of it. And none of us, we say it all the time, you're going to reap what you sow. That's a rule. That's a Bible law that none of us are going to get past. And so we need to come to God. When we're reaping what we sowed, there ain't but one place to go to, and that's to the Lord. And say, God, help me. I'm being afflicted, and I know I brought it on myself. But you can help me. You can forgive me. You can heal. If you can't see that in David and Bathsheba's life, no one could replace the child they lost except for God. And bring joy, healing, and help in their life. Would you stand to your feet tonight? We're going to have an invitation tonight. I don't know if you just want to come and pray for somebody who needs prayer. Maybe you want to come back tonight and pray for Brother Whistler. But maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know for sure. You're on your way to heaven. But you want to get that. That's that destruction. You're appointed unto that because it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. I don't know where you're headed tonight, but you can search your heart and you can see what direction. Are you headed for heaven or are you headed for hell? You know, this book tells us that you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ. Why don't you step out and meet me in the front? I'll love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we do thank you for what you've taught us from your word. Lord, I pray that you again would be with Brother Whistler. Lord, I pray that even now that a miracle has happened, but God, we trust you to give us just what we need in this hour. God, I pray that you'd be with all the preparations for Sunday. I pray that our folks would go out and meet people on the street, Lord, and would invite them to come to your church. And that through sitting in the pew or sitting next to their friend, they'll hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and come to the saving knowledge of how they can be in heaven for eternity. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just be full of visitors on Sunday because of folks going out and witnessing and visiting for you. I pray you'll be with the choir, the nursery, every aspect of our church, Lord, that it would be right, just what it needs to be for your honor and glory. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.